You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, the intro just always bring life to the ting.
Vibes,
you know?
vibes.
Big up, Mikey. This is another one of them things called Them Casual Red Show. First of all, let's get to the people to keep the lights on. Brought to you by Balloran and Malukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in Southern California, the state, the nation, with a 98% success rate. We're fully staffed. Lawyers should be beautiful, brilliant paralegals. Shout out to all of them. Shout out to Hike, Upshot, Vahe, Ani, David. See, I hear it. Call them at 747-444-4444. Get their free consultation. If they don't win, you don't get paid. 98% success rate. Bring in the man them. What's going on, gentlemen? I am blessed and honored to be with such a collection of beautiful Reds representing every region, damn near every region of the Stateside Reds, Knowledgeable Reds. It's a great day. Beautiful day. Let me start with my man, Cheese. Cheese, how you doing?
Namaste. Good, man. Summer vibes. Everything good. Up and up. Welcome and congratulations, Ten Hag.
You don't normally talk like that.
All the time, Glenn. Welcome to the show.
Since Glenn wanted to introduce himself early, pon the ting. Glenn, how you doing, my brother? Representing the Ross Clot Laker. Them.
This are my radio voice, Glenn.
Glenn, I knew yeah. Glenn was a writer. How you doing out there, my G?
I don't even like basketball. But I like Kobe.
Oh, real vibes. I love it.
Kobe's a legend.
That's okay with us. That's okay with us. Mikey, representing the South. How you doing, my brother?
I got one for Samuel Luckhurst and one for David Ornstein.
No, there's another one, too.
And DeMarzo. Fuck off.
I've got two for Jurgen Klopp. Fuck off.
My man, Sean, representing PA. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It's a great day to be a Man United fan.
Indeed.
You know, today I saw a picture of the banner, of the flag getting drawn by a plane. I don't know if it was the real one. Someone said it wasn't, but it brought warmth to my heart, and I had to big you up again.
We were almost close to sending another one up at that point, if they got rid of Ten Hag.
Fair play. Bandito, my G. ACJ up. How you doing, my brother?
What's up, boys? Glad to be back. Had a little hiatus last week, but we're back on it. And Ineos is back on business.
Ineos is back on business indeed, and let's get into it. Great news today. It was released about 4 hours ago by the one and only Mr. Ornstein, followed by Fabrizio, who gets this information from Ornstein, but I'm not going to get into that. Ineos was happy to say that they're going to continue business with Erik ten Hag, and they're working on a contract extension, which is actually music to my ears. Since you're across from me, Cheese, how did you feel about it when you heard the news today?
I was surprised by the extension. I was happy that they're keeping him. Like, I'm glad the review went well, because, again, from last week's show, we're like, yo, we're keep the man staying. I thought Ineos is the one feeding the press at that point last week. So very happy he's in. Surprised by the extension, not mad at it.
Yeah, the extension was a pleasant surprise to me too. I think it's showing structure and stability. But good news. My man Sean, what did you think when you heard? How'd you feel?
No, like I said, I'm really glad that he's staying. Again, like geez, a little surprised with the extension. But that just goes to show that maybe the media are full of shit and that that was the man overall.
Yeah, the media is full of big things, big shit. And that's a whole another topic. I think it's going to end up coming out in this topic, speaking about Erik ten Hag. Glenn, how'd you feel about knowing that he was staying the job when we've been hearing from the past few weeks that he was on the out? Is this a sign of Ineos doing good business? Do you think it's, I don't know. I think
it's a sign that someone's got a fucking level head now. And I said this many times before when we talked that I was shaking all about with Ten Hag all season. I didn't know where we wanted him. Like, there was down moments. And this is not just on the basis of winning the FA Cup against City, which was massive. But at this point, you look around, who's available, what's available. You know, you saw in the videos after the FA Cup, loads of the players love him. They're behind him. So I was always, at the end of the season, ready to give him another season, or at least till Christmas, to see how he does. And I think it shows a statement from the owners that, you know what I mean? We're not just going to bring in fucking Graham Potter. Give Ten Hag this summer. You know, obviously Euros are going on. That's going to be tough. It's always hard when there's an international tournament.
Yeah, it's always tough.
In the middle of a window, because someone has a good game for Slovenia. Fucking Slovenia. And everyone's like, buy him. It's hard. But no, I'm happy. As a United fan, I'm happy to give him another year. I know he wants best for us. He's done good things. He's had a shitty season. He's done some bad things. But at this point, what do you do? Like you saw, it's the rehire fire. Bang. What do you do? Sack him and start all over again? All comes back to the Arteta thing with me. I don't think Arteta will ever win the league with Arsenal, by the way. But...
All right, well, let me jump in here. Big Mike, how did you feel? Did you think, were you welcoming it? Well, I know what you were thinking, but what does this show? Two questions. How do you feel, and what does it say about Ineos to you?
About damn time. They took too long to make this decision. After FA Cup, I think he redeemed himself there. At those, actually, the wins before that leading up to it, the play style we were getting, the way he was able to change and adapt and get us the wins. Because remember, I was the guy. I didn't want him after the Chelsea. It took me Chelsea. And that broke me. Because I took the game off. When they scored the goal to get there, I was like, no, I'm done. I haven't seen enough. But the play afterwards, consistent. He's showing that he's not rigid. I was happy with that. Ineos still have to prove to me some things. I still think how they dealt with it was sloppy. But they're really going to have to show some things. And I think it's advantageous for us with the upcoming season, only because we're not in Champions League, but the Champions League is now expanded. There's going to be more games for that. The top teams are going to play in FIFA Club World Cup. There's more games for that. So we're possibly going to play in not us, but football fans. We're possibly going to see the most football we've ever seen in a calendar year, right? I think Ineos is going to have a little bit more time to see what's going on and to make more decisions with all these competitions going on.
Bandito, it was getting close, though. I'm not going to say Ineos didn't scare me, but I was a little shook. But how did you feel knowing this? Blood clot. The news that came out today.
Yeah, it just seemed to drag on, and you could feel like the fan base getting frustrated about how long it took, and I just, you know, like a lot of you've already said, there's some issues there, and we're not sure that he's going to be the man to take us forward, but give him the season. I don't see any advantage to sacking him, you know, now and bringing in a new person. I think maybe that's why they said, kind of looked around and said, well, you know, we got this guy. He's got one good season, and he's got one crap season. So let's keep him around.
We still won the FA Cup.
So I think that, yeah, I was a bit surprised by the extension. But yeah, I'm glad they finally, you know, resolved that and they can move on to the next thing, which is the big thing is player sales.
I'm just gonna say the fact that the extension was, I think it was shocking to everybody, it shows that Ineos is like, listen, we're going to continue with this. We're going to back you.
Give you time.
And this is not something us United supporters are used to. Would you guys agree? Cheese, anyone want to chime in?
I would agree. I would agree. And I was just going to say, personally, like, you look at the longevity and the building of managers. Klopp's already gone. Pep's going to be gone next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ten Hag's already got a couple of years under his belt. He's going to be one of the longest serving top four, top five, 16 managers in the future. So they're all going to get newbies. Who knows what Arne Slot is going to do at fucking Liverpool? Do you know what I mean? Like,
Sean, you were chiming in on something?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch something on what Mikey said. So I was watching Sky Sports News today, and they had a guy talking about how long it took to make the decision. And it kind of actually opened my eyes a little bit on why they did it. Like, if you look at the previous managers, they've just like come in, swapped, got all these big managers in. For the first time, United, is even though it took a long time, they sat down and decided, we're going to do an end of year review, see if this is the right manager. I know it took a long time, but it really opened my eyes where how he was saying, like, when was the last time United did something like this?
Yeah, go ahead, Big Mac.
You have to remember, Van Gaal got sacked the day after winning the FA Cup. There was no review then, was it?
No, that's what I mean. When was the last time? And I actually look at it and go, it might have taken a long time, but this is actually a good thing that they're doing.
Yeah, I thought it was too. Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm with you there, but given what was out there, I think that kind of steered the Ten Hag choice, and that strengthens Ten Hag's position, right?
Yeah.
Given that there's not real, like, look at Bayern. Bayern went after four or five different guys and asked their coach to stay, and he says, no, I'm going to go chill with my family. And then they go get Vincent Kompany out of nowhere. They were after Ten Hag.
Blew my mind.
It was like, with what's going on, you know, it kind of helped Ten Hag that the managerial pool is pretty thin. I'm with you there, Sean, but it didn't help that there was nobody else.
For real.
Go ahead, Bandito.
Yeah, and one of the things that Ineos keeps repeating is that they're going for a play style and a manager that fits that play style and players that fit that play style and an academy that tunes into that play style. So the, you know, musical manager is really – you know, doesn't work there. So that's maybe another little element that they're looking at.
And to chime in, when you said, Mikey, about there being a lack of coaching choices, I think that was also a narrative. I think there was also a narrative that the media, like you said, was pushing us in a direction. But then I know what Sean and Bandito were talking about. I think it was 4 days ago. Someone said Ineos is doing this review where they're looking at the players. They're looking at the injury situation. And the last thing they were going to do was Erik ten Hag. He was going to be the last part of the review. So I guess when I heard it like that, I said, oh, it makes sense why it's taking so long. Because this whole review, media was telling us they're just reviewing Erik ten Hag.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the case. I mean.
Stop following the media.
Yeah, the media is wicked. They're big. I don't even know how to start. I mean, it feels like we're swaying into something. Anybody else want to chime in on what we just went through with the Erik ten Hag? It's all good news. It keeps our show credible because the last thing we said last week was next week we're going to have a talk about a coach on this show. Who's going to be the coach? And we're very credible.
I'm sick and tired of talking about it. Let's move on. Let's get the team ready for next year. Let's go.
And on that note, we're going to jump into some of the media and what's going on. Mikey, I'm going to let you lead this one. There's a lot we can say about the British media, and I think I understand freedom of expression, freedom of speech, but when you put things out there, challenge people's intellect, you challenge people's credibility, or you destroy people's character, and you don't get any type of punishment, you just can go and keep printing. I think there's something wrong. And I know LA, we have crazy media, but what's going on in the UK is the maddest thing I've ever seen in my life, because they push racism, they push sexism, and they tweak it and try to make it sound intelligent, and it's some fuck shit.
So my thing basically is, you could write whatever you want, okay? There's billionaires that own these papers or whatnot. You could write whatever you want. It's fine, right? But you're writing it for the public, and the public has a right to say whatever they got to say. I'm an American, okay? I live in America. I've been in Manchester a few times. I don't read a lot of media outside of sports media, right? But when I see the first thing you do is slag off players that look a certain type of way, when everybody plays bad, everybody's playing bad, a guy comes on for 17 to 25 minutes and he's on the front page, you know that gets clicks. Why? Because it's divisive. Why is it divisive? Because race is a big issue in today's time. Right? Saka was on the front page of two different publications. So, but the guy didn't even play. Then at halftime, there's a whole editorial about, oh, can Kobe Manu play the position that he's playing? He's at fault for this goal. Harry Kane missed a sitter. Not one word. Not one word. Iceland had a chance to score multiple times. Not
sure. Enough about that. Iceland should be 10-0 up.
You know, so it's like, I have no problem with you writing when players are doing bad. I'm not saying protect players or anything like that. If they're shite, say they're shite. But spread the shit around. Spread it around, because you know what happens when you don't do it. Look at the Euros of the last Euros. When those guys missed the penalties, you could slag them off, they missed penalties for sure. But what came after that was not, it wasn't positive. It wasn't good. It's not pushing. First off, this competition brings people together. It brings nations together. Nations like England, they get behind their team. But it's like, yo, you're British until you do well. Until you fuck up. Then you're from wherever else. I don't like that, man. I'm not a fan of that. If I'm wrong, but that's how I see it.
Hey, Ten Hag said the same thing after the cup final. This is England. They'll build you up and
Great point.
And knock you down.
And he's speaking about Kobe. Take your time.
I was going to say this real quick. Glenn, I know you're
in the world last week.
Go ahead, Glenn, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I was going to say, Glenn, you'll remember this. I'm not sure if anyone else. Like, can you remember what they did to David Beckham, Glenn?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Shit, they had things hanging.
It haunted me.
Yeah. Had him hanging.
I've got a tattoo on my arm, and my daughter's middle name is Beckham. I lived through it.
Mm-hmm. Me too, man. It was horrendous what they did to him.
What the media did after that.
And Rooney as well, too.
He was the best player in the fucking world before he went to the World Cup. And he went there and I remember all the mannequins, the effigies who were hanging from the pubs. He got bullets in the mail with Brooklyn on him, saying someone's going to kill his kid. Yeah. The English media knocked him to the fucking ground.
And
that's what they do. And you know what? Especially they do with United.
I was going to say, I feel like... go ahead, Glenn. Go ahead, Bandito. Jump in.
Yeah, a couple of things. So, like, a lot of these trash rags, they deal in failure. That's money to them. And the more people fail, the better it is for them. Sad to say. And it's like Mikey was saying, it's always the same kind of faces. It's just... underlying to very overt racism that they know a certain element in England will pick up on. So growing up as a United supporter, I would remember folks saying Little England. Little England is after United. So these are all these people in England who support smaller clubs. And when they get together, they team up on United, fans and players. So we're seeing it with Kobe. Hating on United means clicks, it means eyeballs. You know, we're talking about it, other people are talking about it. Little England hates United, they don't want United players to do well. So this is kind of where they thrive on this stuff. So it's
It's been the same going home. If Jamie Carragher scores an own goal, Phil Neville should have stopped it.
Yeah, shit. He has the most own goals in the Premier League, I believe.
Yeah, he sure does.
I saw two of them live, the fucking retard. I saw two of them live.
The thing is, at halftime, there won't be a whole fucking write-up about how a 19-year-old shouldn't be in the team. He doesn't have... He's not physical, or he should just play a six. He's not clinical. He's not technical. Oh, if he's fast, he should just be a winger. Be a striker. Be a winger. Don't play in midfield. If you're fast and you look like me, play up top. Don't go in the midfield. That's not for you. That's for technically sound players.
This is what I've learned in my lifetime, and I've been to loads of international tournaments, World Cups, Euros, everywhere. It's a different story when it comes to England. Like, I'm sure you all agree, it's United before England than anyone. But in the off-season, support England. But when you go to these tournaments, everyone, and I'm talking like drinking with Scousers and Geordies, everyone's together until someone fucks up. And it's, he's a United player.
I was going to say, I've noticed that the vitriol is harsher when they're judging players from national duty. Because you remember what Sancho and Rashford went through. That's the only time they really get these crazy attacks. You know what I'm saying? And it's like...
criticism.
So what I'm going to ask you guys, this is a crazy question, but do you feel that since it's more driven towards the national team where you get these disgusting things, it's kind of a cultural thing?
100%.
Because, you know, in the United States, we have... We've protested. We've done this. We've had, you know what I'm saying? England, they're still having, and I feel like I'm going to piss people off, but they still haven't had their cultural rights pushes yet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, do you guys feel that it's more tougher when they go play for national duty? Because, I mean, when guys talk about the domestic or the local teams or their clubs, they don't come at him that hard. They just say he's a shit player. I'm just saying, when it comes to England, they try to find different ways to attack. They go at players' intellect more than their physicality. You see what I'm saying?
Our media's fucking scum. Our media's been fucking scum for years. You talk it in and outside of football, or you talk about royalty, whatever. Our media's fucking scum. I wouldn't, if I lived at home, I would not go to the paper shop and pay 30p for a newspaper. I wouldn't even look online. It's absolute bollocks, everything that they write, and it's just... That's what they do. Fucking Kobe Mainoo 7 weeks ago was England's fucking prodigy. The best player on the fucking planet. Mm-hmm. Running all over Man City. Next minute, he gives a pass away against Iceland. He's fucking shit and he's on the fucking front of the paper. Like, fuck off.
Go ahead, Mikey.
So I compare it to, because I watch a lot of, I like to watch France. I have like a vested interest in France. National, right? When France lose, right, 98% of that team is black. They don't do that. They don't act like this. You get the occasional, they're not really French kind of conversation. But they back those guys. They've won it. They've won it multiple times and recently, right? The last two, pretty recently, right? I was 8 for the one. But this last one before that. They win it. They back their guys. They don't slag them off. They talk a little shit, but it's not a pass the game type of thing. My thing is, leave it at the game. Leave it at the game. If they played bad, say they played bad. But to now start talking about intellect and upbringing and haircuts and wearing necklaces, and it's like, what the fuck does this have to do with the game? What does that have to do with the game? It has nothing to do with the game. It has everything to do with what you don't like and what you see. The presentation of old England is gone.
Actually,
the high shorts and the socks are gone.
That's not just England, mate. That's the media all over the fucking world. The same with boxing. It's fucking bollocks. I don't even fucking follow anymore. It's fucking bollocks. Media, it's not just English media. It's the same here. It's the same with boxing. The same everywhere.
As far as a team sport in a game that's watched or the most watched game in the world, in Europe, I hardly see it for other teams when they don't do well. And the expectation for England is higher because, what, they created the game, right? So the expectation's 100 times higher. So the scrutiny's 1,000 times higher. But then it just goes to this crazy, murky thing where it's like, we're not even talking about the game anymore. We're just talking about custom.
It's coming.
Bandito jumping. Bandito jumping. I'm sorry.
We saw the same thing happen when Germany bounced out of the World Cup, where they said, you know, we don't need Turkish and Algerians. We need real Germans. And, you know, poor, you know, Mueller had to come out, the captain, and say, you know, stop all that. We're a team together. Because like Mikey was saying, it was something outside of football at that point. And so all these, you know, all these little guys got their feelings hurt and had to talk bad about, you know, the German national team players.
Bandito, did you see that poll that they just ran in Germany? They're like, should the German national team have more white players? And 20% of the people think...
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Wait a minute. You're saying Germany is being racist? No.
All right.
You can't even say that in Germany. You go to Germany, you can't even say something like that there. Do they have
Nigel Farage, you know, on buses doing tours around over there too?
Let's get on some good news. Let's talk about some good news. Let's talk about Kobe Maynard. I read something beautiful. Clarence Serdoff on Kobe. He reminds me of a young me with his body and movement, but the thing that he has, I never did, is his maturity at such a young age. Sky's the limit for him.
Stockport Sadar.
Who said that, Clarence?
Yeah. I thought that was high praise.
What a fucking baller he was, by the way. I saw him live twice, mate. What a baller.
Does he remind you of Kobe, or does Kobe remind you of him?
Well, it has to be the other way around because Kobe's younger. But
I said it both ways. Pause. Is that a pause?
I saw Sadov play. I saw Sadov play for Ajax. I was live. He glides like Kobe glides, doesn't he? Like if you ever see McTominay when he tries to run past the player, it looks he's trying so fucking hard. Kobe just glides past players. He switches feet. He opens his body, he opens his hips, he plays short, he drops off. I mean, he's a young kid. He pings a ball, he gets in it, and he looks dead.
It's crazy about the game that he got all the criticism. He was the only person passing the ball forward. And he was the highest rated player from that game, by the way, too. So I thought it was wild. But anyway, anyone want to jump in? Speaking about Kobe Maynard, and Barca offered 10?
Cheap. They're disrespectful. Disrespectful.
Five.
Stinking up your ass. What was it? 8.5 million
Yeah.
What are they? What are they on? Some new crack?
Some must be.
And they're broke. That's
fentanyl.
Bro.
Is that fentanyl?
That's like Leeds offering us fucking Melier for Hoyland. Right, we'll do it.
Anybody else want to chime in on Kobe?
If we're talking Leeds, I'll take that kid Somerville from there. I'll take
him. Oh, he's a baller.
Take him.
He's a baller.
I thought. Kobe reminded you of Pogba. Is that
who said that?
Oh, here we go. Tony doesn't become lazy.
But Pogba's not even fit to fucking clean one of his boots.
Hey, Sean, how about when me and him go in on Pogba in the chat, and then you're like, "What's going on here?" Over steroids.
I was literally driving, and I get like 50 messages on the chat. I'm like, "What the fuck's going on?"
The guy says, "Has doping ever happened in football before?" Maradona is a fucking doper. Was banned from the sport for 3 years.
What kind of dope, though? Was he on the dope or was he on the dope?
He was on the dope. He was on both of them. He got banned for 1 year for coke. For 8 months.
That's not performance enhancing.
Maradona.
The third one was performance enhancing. The one who got banned for 3 years was a performance enhancing drug.
He might have been.
I know you just started watching football yesterday.
Pogba was shit. Pogba's always been shit.
Uh oh. Listen, we want to keep it positive here. We don't want to. This is not Pogba free radio. Only on Mikey's channel.
Big up, Paul.
No, I respect Paul Pogba. I just feel bad that he made that the narrative.
I just want to jump up with something. I know there's a little bit of different transfer news, but
go for it.
I know United always wanted that Frankie. Anyone see Frankie's out of the Euros today? He's injured.
What?
Really?
Frankie ain't going.
Hey, Frankie De Jong?
Yeah, he's not going. He's injured. He got cut from the team. Ooh. So,
wow.
I know we've been looking to get him. So.
If he comes to United, our medical staff are not going to fucking help him, are they?
That's another discussion, too.
Yeah, I think that's... With that discussion, it's kind of... I think that was part of the big, you know, end of season review. I think people are going to start going from that real soon. Because we can't have... With the amount of games we've got next year, we cannot be having injuries like that.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've never seen anything in sports like that to have that many injuries. I mean, it's like your whole squad got injured twice, each person. It was crazy. The fact that there was, like, multiple players who had multiple surgeries within a 12-month span, I thought that was disgusting. The fact that players were allowed to go play on international duty and then get hurt or come back hurt was disgusting. Whatever's going on with Malacia seems to be serious. I just don't understand. And then Luke Shaw comes out and says it was my fault and the medical staff's fault. Now, when the medical
he threw Ten Hag under, sorry, he threw Ten Hag under the bus too. There, he said that I shouldn't have played, and the boss asked me to play.
But Sean, coaches are going to want players to play, and players are going to want to play. A professional medical staff is supposed to intervene and protect the player from the coach.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I was agreeing with you there.
No, here it comes.
That's going to show how bad the medical staff are, that you're going to allow a player to be injured and play. Like, who was injured and play? Who's someone else?
Johnny Evans just did it at the end of the season.
Yeah, Johnny Evans was injured and they asked him to play.
Rashi did it. Go ahead, Mikey.
What about Mason Mount?
We don't even know who he is. I've seen him play three times.
I'm going to say this real quick. Sorry, Big Mike. We haven't seen the best of Mount. Like, when he was fit and at Chelsea, he was a phenomenal player. Like, he really is a phenomenal player. And I just hope he comes back. We can get him in any kind of mindset that he was when he was at Chelsea. Because,
but he's also been a player at United who's been forced to play when he's not fit.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Sean.
No, go ahead, Mikey.
So, like, again, in what he said in the interview was that I'm not gonna say no. I'm gonna play. The medical staff said they saw nothing. They said
that's scary.
We've given you the time. We don't see anything in our tests. You look fine. Only you at that point know yourself, and you have to make a business decision for yourself. But also for the longevity of your career and also the betterment of the team. So they're always going to say, yeah, I'm going to play, but then you risk getting hurt. And then it looks like the medical staff didn't do what they're supposed to do. The medical staff cleared you because they thought you were ready. But at the end of the day, only you know. Like in basketball, those guys are like, yo, my ankle, I can't go tonight. But they have 82 games to make that decision. You can miss one game. It's fine. You're playing in Toronto. There's 10 people there. Nobody cares. But Premier League, less games.
Shout out to T-Dot.
Games mean more. Yeah, games mean more. So you have to make that decision. I think it's a tough call. I'm not taking the medical staff off the hook. I'm just saying he has to know at the end of the day he wasn't ready. Like, yo, I still feel a little, I don't know if I can get out there. You have to say that. You have to speak up and say that. You've been at the club for 9 years. You've had multiple injuries. You haven't finished one season in 9 years. Bruno's finishing every season. And the minute he can't play. And we see what we look like without him. He still will say, hey, I can't make it.
Shout out to Bruno, right, by the way, putting up crazy numbers
for Portugal.
Why is no one saying he's world class?
He's world class. Because he plays Man United. That's why.
Ronaldo banged two in again tonight.
Ah, fuck Ronaldo.
He said, fuck Ronaldo. Fuck off, you dickhead.
I mean, Ronaldo was right, but he was still a pagan.
Ronaldo's a legend, and I'll always love Ronaldo for what he did. I just didn't agree with the way he left. Like, doing that interview, fine.
Both times.
Just walking out, I didn't agree with, you know.
You don't know what went on the inside. No one knew what went on the inside. He's a fucking legend. Yeah. He's a true professional.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I always say he's a Ronaldo, but... I just didn't like the way he did it. But I know Mike Bandino will like this kind of conversation because this is his area. But anyone else seen anything else on transfer news now that we've got the manager sorted?
What?
Fucking sorted and signed some goddamn players.
One thing I like that he is sorted. Now we need to get our director of football in the house. But the fact that he's sorted is going to make the recruiting so much better.
Don't they start Barada and stuff? It's July 1st, isn't it, they start?
Barada starts July 1st, but we don't have a sporting director, and I don't see him coming until at least January, the end of the year.
What?
Yeah, no, not Barada.
Sporting director.
Ashworth?
Ashworth.
Yeah, it's going to be August for him.
Yeah, it's going to be a while for him.
So
it's going to be a random transfer window, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. The strikers are dwindling.
I guess Cesc's
off. Yeah, he's off the list. Mm.
He's staying.
You know, last week we went through a list of people that we thought were priority. Does any position that you guys see is moving? I think we're all pretty much center back. Mikey, Bandito, last week we were talking about center back pretty much as priority. We went through a list. Anything you want to talk about as transfers that you didn't get to chime on last week? I mean, we had lists last week. You would have been proud of us, Mandito. You would have been proud of us.
It was actual research.
Yeah, it was research then.
No, I mean, I've heard all the rumors that you guys have heard and everyone else. And I'm not really sure where we're at. I think a lot of the players that we would like to get are going to be priced out. And I think sales is going to be a big part of who we can go and get. I see maybe one marquee signing, and then I think we live in that like 40, 35 mil kind of.
Yeah, that area.
I would rather do 6 $25 million signings, 25 million quid signings. I posted a picture today. Did anyone see it? When we signed Van der Hau, Solskjaer, Ronnie Johnson, Kalle Poborski. I know it's back in the day, but I'd rather make 6 signings that no one's ever heard of that we've scouted out. Like, who's a marquee signing that United's really going to get? I don't see anybody.
Yeah, I mean, in today's time, though, it's hard to say there's a player that no one's heard of because there's so much. Even I've heard of people, and Mikey said, I don't watch ball, but, you know, that goes.
Play football manager.
Harry Kane coming home.
Harry Kane.
Well, yeah.
He's fucking shit. No, hey, listen, Harry Kane's a curse. England will win nothing this year because he's around.
He's lightweight a curse.
Suppose he breaks that curse at United.
What are you on today? What's going on? First of all, he's priced out. He's priced out. One thing I don't understand why they keep bringing up Yao Neves. He's really expensive. Isn't he going to be like 100?
But he's a baller. Yeah. He's a fucking player though. I watch.
Yeah, but he's priced out, Glenn. We can't afford that.
It's Benfica.
We're Manchester United.
Eventually, you're gonna fuck him off. You know what? We'll give you 60 million. Scott McTominay and Harry Maguire. How's that? Done.
Done.
You'll still win the Portuguese league, but them two.
Someone just gave us a crazy offer for two, allegedly a crazy offer for two players. There was Harry and
Scott McTominay and someone else.
Wan-Bissaka.
Was it Galatasaray?
Yeah.
Wan-Bissaka. It was Galatasaray, yeah. I think it was.
I see Mourinho sniffing around now. He's at Fenerbahce. He wants Greenwood, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, and Wan-Bissaka.
I don't think they can afford it.
Greenwood's an interesting one. There's been some rumors and speculation that he, Rashford, and Sancho could be on the preseason tour if they're not sold. I don't know why I put Rashford in that list. Forgive me, Rashid.
I don't want anyone on the preseason tour if they're not going to play.
Yeah, they should be left at home. Pointless. They should be. I'm with Glenn on this one. If you're for sale, you do not go on that tour.
I've seen it. I mean, I'm driving out to South Carolina for a game against the Scousers.
Oh, Glenn, you're going to be there too?
Oh, yeah. You'll see
me and Big Mikey will be there.
That'd be a nice threesome.
3 hours from me.
Hey. You'll see me fighting with the Scousers in the streets. But like,
what?
On this slot. Fuck off.
What'd I say?
Mike, how many pairs of shoes do you got?
That's like the topic every week. A couple.
Do you work in Foot Locker or is that your house?
No, Foot Locker. No, call him.
This is my house. This is one of three shelves of trainers.
And what do you wear them?
Yeah, I do. Nice. I'm not a reseller. None of that. I get them, pop the tags off, put them on.
He wears his shoes. What about Michael Olise? He seems to be waiting. He seems to keep pushing the United train, but he might be priced out too.
Nah, give him Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Wan-Bissaka. And I drew some heat this week. I think he should stay
for depth.
On the depth charts.
Stay with us for the depth charts.
Because why sell when we're going to need to buy another right back?
Because it's the wages per week. You can't have those kind of wages and not be using the players. You don't want your backup guy making. He signed him for $50 million, shit like that. He's on a crazy amount of wages to not play. I mean, he found his form towards the second half of the season for sure. But let's get some money for him. Move forward with a traditional, well, not even traditional, traditional now, right? Traditional now with the left back or right back that can push forward, keep the ball, cross the street, and not Wan-Bissaka can't do any of those things and refuses to check his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it. He's just a great 1v1 defender, and we'll see him lock down a guy. But then five, six games, give up a goal because he won't look over his shoulder, lose a man, lose his place, and
He did have a tough run there a couple games where he was a shit and just the worst shit, like lazy Jake shit.
Simmons
like,
over.
Yeah, you know.
Over. He can't do it. He can't do it. He does it in flashes. We need a consistent. We need somebody that can play that. And we need more athletes, man.
Across the
we
board.
We need actual athletes. That's what the game is.
Oh,
man.
Stop that. What do you mean athletes? We need footballers.
Game is athletes now. Please let me finish what I'm saying. The game is all athletes now. It's not just all these technical guys. You have to be able to run for 90. You have to be able to press as a team. You have to have the gas tank to do all those things. That's why City does it well. Liverpool does it well. We have fucking athletes. That's it. That's what the game is now.
I disagree with you. Mike Owen said it
the other day. Okay, let me finish, please. This is the show. We're not on Facebook Live. So, Mike Owen said it best the other day. He said, yo, these guys aren't as good as we are back in the day, but they can run their fucking socks off. That's what we need. We need guys that can do that. Not guys that are going to quit. Not guys that are going to walk back like Rashford. We need the athletes to do it. And then the technical side of the football, we can hone in on. We could teach that part more often. But we got the modern game today is athleticism. It always is. The top six teams in the world that win everything all the time are athletes. Real Madrid hang around deep into games.
That motherfucker do it right. Deep into
games when it looks like they can't win. Why? Just a sheer this and gas tank. And then they're just super technical, all those guys. So that's what I feel like we need to trend towards. To be better, because the game is going to leave us behind if we keep thinking over.
I feel like you're both right. We need a combination of both. I mean, we can't have just straight over athletic guys and no savvy, football savvy. I think, like, you look at Rashford, I know he's a bit lazy, but he's extremely athletic. But I'd rather have him work more on the football aspect of his game, where he's reading the game and knowing when to attack, when to pause, and Rashford outrun anybody in the league, but he's useless to me.
He doesn't track back on defense.
Yeah, I was saying he's lazy. That's a part of his game. His laziness.
He's fucking. If he can't outrun you, if it's not Dan Byrne and he can't outrun you and go around you, he's thinking. And now, as he's thinking, defense has a chance to get back.
Okay, well, is Anthony athletic to you guys? Is Anthony athletic?
No.
Yeah, he's one of those technical. He's one of those guys that lack the technical side. But he's an athlete. He goes back.
He's an athlete. He must be fucking world class. He's an athlete.
He is an athlete.
Never said world class.
Bollocks.
Okay, you wanted to be 99.
Yeah, but we are not gonna buy the world class guy. We got about 5 minutes left. We're not buying the world class guys. We need to find that balance. Good mix.
Need that balance.
Let's go to the Olympics and start scouting athletes. Then we'll win the fucking Premier League.
So wait a minute. I didn't even want to jump subject here. We're going to have the Copa, Euros, and then the Olympics?
I think that's the order. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a lot of football.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see big, big names at the Olympics, though.
I would hope not. I know they told Garnacho he couldn't do it.
Yeah, it should be under 23.
Let's get Usain Bolt. He's an athlete. He'll run back.
He did want to play for Man United.
I think he messed up his Achilles in the soccer aid thing.
Playing soccer aid. Playing against Gordon
Ramsay. Scoring more goals than Rashford's bum ass.
Playing against Gordon Ramsay.
Listen, Rashford is going to be a Red next year, and I want all y'all to support him. Okay? That's the last of that.
Look, always my rabbit is called Rashford.
Here we go.
if he has another bad season, he's gone.
The fact that you keep your rabbit in the cage is so crazy. It's mad.
My rabbit lives in a cage, and he's covered so much more ground than Marcus this season.
Marcus is getting a bad rabbit, but he's doing it to himself. So it's good news. We really think we need to get this director of football in-house, but we have some qualified people in there, so it's not as bad as it used to be. I'm just going to tell you, I know we talked about it earlier, I'm just happy that Ten Hag is in the house, and then we're going to give him an extension, because like I said, now we can actually tell people who are coaches. I think it was some fair points made that, you know, Ten Hag has already said he knows what Ineos wants in the system, so I think those were things were big for him.
Before we go, who's winning the Euros?
Jamaica. Not England.
France.
England ain't going to win it. Sorry, Sean. Y'all got the shittiest gaff ever.
Dude, France. As soon as I saw that defense, I was like, yep, say goodbye to that one.
Not Southgate. Like,
you know who? What about my man Walker there? He played shit, and he's supposed to be athletic. What's going on with him? He was out of position all the time for England.
You can't win a Euros being athletic. Athletic means nothing.
Then Mikey, remember when I sent him the text? Didn't think anyone would ever say it, but damn, they're gonna miss Big H.
I know.
Physicality.
Scotland will win it. McTominay and
Spain.
Portugal.
France will win it. They got the technical players and the athletes to do it.
They're not tough players, though.
I got a France versus Germany final.
They're doing 110
meters. Germany back.
No, he's not.
Germany ain't going to do it.
Portugal will win it.
Portugal.
Ronaldo will do it again.
Who's going to win Copa?
India.
Bandito, quick.
What?
Not Jamaica and not Mexico.
not USA after that 5-1 fresh.
Oh, they're man, USA, what's wrong with USA?
USA will not win anything for about fucking 50 years because all they do is recruit athletes.
USA has so many resources for our region. They got academies all over the world.
I coach it, mate. I'm struggling. I'm coaching the keepers, and they ain't
helping.
That's
why they won't win.
You walked right into that one, brother.
I'm coaching the keepers, and helping the players because Mikey wants them to recruit athletes.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
Fullbacks are the hurdles.
A quick question. When is the transfer window open?
Friday? No, July 1st. Euros is Friday. July 1st.
July 1st. Sean will be with us next Tuesday.
For sure.
In studio.
For sure.
I'm going to have to bring some drinks in here.
Wow. Drink it up. Is that allowed?
Next week at the Olympics for some athletes.
He got the wine in there.
Yeah, he's going to bring us wine. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
All right.
Any closing words? Anybody want to say anything? Anything you want to look out for? Anything you want to promote? Go in there. Jump in there right now. We got 2 minutes.
Foot Klopp.
Yeah. I'm still petty when it comes to Scousers.
Wow. Not letting it go.
Who isn't?
I saw something today where the one of the Oasis brothers said that Pep was way better. Pep's teams would have demolished Fergie's team, and someone replied, yeah, but our worst Manchester United team beat, and no, he said, Fergie's teams got smashed by Klopp and Pep's team. One of the worst is the Gallagher guys. And then someone responded by, yeah, but Manchester United's worst team. Fuck both of those teams.
Word.
So what are you talking about?
So you tell that Oasis, some might say.
It's funny to say that considering Klopp only beat Ten Hag once.
And the two times Ten Hag beat Pep is when he had his full squads this year.
Mm-hmm.
Something to be said. Guys, it's been a good show. Good news. Eric Ten Hag's in-house is going to show us a lot of structure and stability, especially with the link looking for a contract extension.
Stop slagging on transfer signings.
Yeah, we got to get him in. I love how Ineos is keeping it quiet. I can't wait to hear what our transfer kitty is like. My name is Case. These are the guys. This is Los Casual Red Show. This is the Stateside Red Show. We're representing every region. We're just going to keep it real, keep it 100. See you next show. Up the fucking Reds.
Up.
Scoop.
Bless
you. Are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.